and welcome to another program. We're in the book of Judges. We're in Judges chapter 10, if you possibly can. Have your Bible ready. In Judges chapter 10, we read, first of all, in verse 1 through 5, of two judges that are referred to quite often as minor judges. And the reason they are called minor judges is because there's very little said about them. You remember we talked about Shamgar. He only had one verse about him, and he is considered to be a minor judge. I don't think we should really refer to any of them as minor judges. God didn't have any minor situations in the Bible. But usually they're called that simply because the verses are very few that have to do with what they did. We're living in an age of apostasy in the book of Judges. God's people are in bondage to the enemy. In chapter 10 and verse 6, Israel has a sevenfold apostasy we see here and a sevenfold bondage. In verse 7 to 9, we see them in bondage once again. We'll start today in Judges chapter 10 and verse number 7, where it says the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. We'll look at that in a minute. But before we do, keep this song in mind. We're going through an age of apostasy in the days that we are living in. But I've read the last chapter. We do win. The victory is in Jesus.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the street of gold beyond the crystal sea. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Well, we read in Judges chapter 10 and verse number 7, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and He sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel 18 years, because the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. He used the Philistines to get their attention because they wouldn't listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, and He's doing the same thing today. We're either going to listen to the Holy Spirit, or as it says in the book of Psalms, they that hate us will rule over us and will be brought into subjection under their hand, one way or the other. We read here in verse 9, moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed. That's an interesting phrase. They were sore distressed. Well, Israel calls on the Lord, and we'll see His response here. He says in verse 10, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against Thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Balaam. Well, now that's pretty good, isn't it? They're crying out unto the Lord. Two things. We've sinned against Thee. Two reasons. We have forsaken God and we've served Balaam. What's God's answer? Verse 11, the Lord said unto the children of Israel, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the Ammonites and from the Philistines and from the Zodians and from the Amalekites and from the Moabites? They did oppress you, and you cried unto me, and I delivered you out of their hand? Yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods. Therefore, I will deliver you no more. Go cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. Sooner or later, the mercy of God runs short here. And He said, go cry unto those that ye have chosen. Let them deliver you. When your troubles come along, see if all the materialistic things that we put ahead of God will help us in our time of trouble. It won't. Well, when you get verse 15 and 16, Israel repents, truly repents. Obviously, they did not back here in the first part of this chapter. And so in verse number 17 and 18, Israel gathers together to do something about the situation, but they do not have a leader. Well, that brings us to Judges chapter 11, where Jephthah negotiates with the Ammonites. In verse 1 through 3, Jephthah's background before he becomes a leader is recorded there for us. In verses 4 through 8, the elders of Gilead call upon Jephthah. And then verses 30 to 31, Jephthah makes a rash vow, thinking it will help his cause before God. Again, these people, they're not spiritual. They're just acting spiritual. It's like Gideon when he said, the Lord shall be your king. And then we see what a mess he made of his life. Then in verse 32 to 33, God grants Israel victory over the Ammonites. And then Jephthah has to do what he's going to do concerning his vow to God. That brings us to chapter 12, where Jephthah and the Ephraimites are brought into focus. And we have once again three what they call minor judges in verses 8 through 10, another one in verse 11 to 12, and another one in verses 13 and 15. Now, for the purpose of this series, we're going to move on to the birth of Samson, which we find in Judges chapter 13. And we need to understand before we get into this story about Samson that he is not a hero. He is a self-centered, immoral womanizer who broke most, if not all, of the Ten Commandments. And once again, all of the judges were raised up by God for something physical in Israel, not for something spiritual. We have seen again and again in this series there was no spiritual leadership, and everybody was doing that which was right in their own eyes. And so the Spirit of the Lord came upon them to accomplish something in a leadership as far as the wars or the physical situations were concerned in Israel. And so in Judges 13, we'll read these first few verses. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zoah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine or strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now, in the situation that they were in, they knew exactly what a Nazarite was all about. And it was usually someone who made a vow for a short period of time, and he would not cut his hair during that time. But, however, what happens here is that the situation with Samson is totally different, and he is not to cut his hair at all. Now, again, I want to read verse 1 of chapter 13. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. Now, we have the phrase here, the children of Israel, the children of Israel. We've said many times, and we'll say many more times, because it's very important, when we're going to study the Bible, we need to look at the scriptures in three areas. One is simply for observation. Second, we need to look at it with an interpretation. In other words, some of the things that were happening back there in Israel need to be interpreted, such as the Nazarite vow and all of that stuff. And so we look at it for observation, interpretation, and then we need to look at it to make an application. The Bible very clearly says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 11, all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Again in Romans 15, verse number 4, whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And so we need to make sure, whenever we're looking at these Old Testament stories, we understand that these things happen, but they are written for our admonition, and we need to make the application that we need to make. So back there in Israel's day, it says the children of Israel. Today, we would talk about the Christians of Canada, or the Christians of the United States, or the Christians in Israel, or wherever. It's referring to God's people, and we need to look at that and make the necessary applications. And so the story begins here with Samson. It begins in the home. It says here that there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren. So we have a certain man and his wife. Very interesting. That phrase, a certain man, is in the Bible 31 times. And the phrase, and his wife, is in the Bible 20 times. It's interesting, we mentioned that the story of Ruth was happening during the period of the Judges, and we read in Ruth 1 and verse number 1 concerning that remnant that were trying to do the right thing. It says, Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons, a certain man and his wife. We can go all the way back to Noah in Genesis chapter 8 and verse number 18, where we had a remnant there. There was only 8 people left. And Noah, it says in Genesis 8 and 18, Noah went forth and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Very interesting. These stories begin in the home. The question is, are we available? Or are we busy in our homes just focusing on the things of this world? We'll pick it up here in our next message, but it's interesting to note that Samson is the last of the judges, and previously we read the people cried out unto the Lord, and previously we read concerning the Philistines, Shamgar killed 600 Philistines. Now nobody's crying out to the Lord. The Lord steps in regardless of the fact that they are not crying out to the Lord, and now at this point the people are content to live side by side with the Philistines. Philistines are there, they're worldly, anti-God people, and God's people are quite content just to live with them in peaceful coexistence.
Sound the battle cry, see the foe is nigh, raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on, stand firm everyone, rest your cause upon His holy word. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng. Strong to meet the foe, marching as we go, while our cause we know must prevail. Shield and banner bright, gleaming in the light, battling for the right, we ne'er can fail. And the victory's won, may we wear a crown before thy face. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the